So be sure to emote. Okay. You need to speak loudly. You can't have your normal Kim Smith, because we want people to hear you.
Okay. Give me
a little test run.
Okay. How's that? Is that loud enough? Is that loud enough?
Good morning, Gloucester! It is Sunday! Do you remember the monster truck commercials from the 70s?
No.
Sunday! Come to Captain Joe's for your monster truck! Oh, event of the year. We are here. It's another podcast. We're banging them out weekly, which I'm really happy about because it's busy right now down the dock.
Yeah,
but
we're
just cramming everything in, and we're having a good time with it. We're averaging like a podcast and a half a week.
You should introduce me to your listeners.
Oh, Kim Smith. I thought everybody. Yeah. I should also tell our listeners that we did 20 minutes of fucking. What? I didn't press the record button.
Right.
So we're doing a redo on the first 20 minutes of our podcast. But I am so happy to have Kim Smith here. We have a lot to talk about today. And the first order of business for me is to clear the air with the sea shanty folks, the wonderful representative of Gloucester, fantastic sea shanty singers that do so much for our community and I'm saying all this and there is a bit of a misunderstanding, and people need to understand that everybody on the blog. We all break each other's balls. We right. joke about your voice, and that all you talk about is butterflies
and
stuff
and bees
and birds.
Right.
Talk about how bald and fat and stupid I am. Right. We talk about Polly Walnuts' psychoses and stuff like that.
I love the Donna Artizoni's brother's kayak video that you posted.
Donna can't get into a kayak. Pete, our weather guy, we'll get into Pete the weather guy.
Pete.
That's a topic. That is a topic in itself. But no one's safe. But everybody is. It's not meant to be malicious. We're taking little things and we kind of just try to make them funny for people, and we try not to take ourselves too seriously. Now, I can understand why this particular guy, Pete Souza, is a great, great guy. Does a ton for the community. Is just a smart, smart guy. And listening to the podcast after the fact, the way I described the sea shanty folk was wearing like the French beret and the Carhartts, and not thinking about it in terms of him, but like it's his kind of outfit. That's what he kind of wears. But it wasn't a direct shot at him, and I hope he knows how much I respect the work he does and how smart of a guy I think he is.
He's terrific. His wife, Audie is terrific.
They
just have a beautiful little baby.
Great people. I hope they understand that in the spirit of what we're doing isn't meant to be mean. It's more joking. And I'm happy to know now that they have their own spot at once a week at the dog bar.
I think that's awesome at the dog bar. And so would they, in order for the listeners to find out more about it, would they go to the dog bar website?
Dog bar website. Right. I'm waiting. I hope Audie, Pete Souza's wife, sends me a press release with the information, and we'd be happy to post it for them where people can listen to the Sea Shanty people that want to listen to the Sea Shanty people. And I'm not backing away from when I go to a restaurant, I like to be able to sit and eat and not particularly hear people, singing loudly.
My husband and I talk about that often too. We want to converse for the most part when we go out to eat. We go out to hear music, that's a different thing.
Yeah.
But for us, we feel the same way, no matter what kind of music it is.
So for them to have like an off night at the dog bar, they couldn't be in the other room. There couldn't be anything better. And I know there's people that love nothing better to listen to and join in with these songs. So I think it's a win for everyone. And there you go. That's my piece about the awesome Gloucester sea shanty singers carrying on the tradition. Right. Yes.
Yes.
That. So, yeah. So we get that out of the way. So I'm walking down Rocky Neck the other day. And right in front of Imagine, Brenda Malloy's little shop right there.
Right.
Curb full of leaves.
Oh, I saw your photo on the blog about that. I was just like...
Is there anything more depressing than a curb full of leaves in the middle of August?
The third week in August?
Yeah, God. Yeah. It's been so cool for so... I would take this summer, if you could sign a contract for any summer weather-wise that we've had in my memory, I would sign a contract for this summer.
As the coolest.
As the one I would want for every single summer, because there was no big, huge monster heat waves.
Well, I feel like we're having sort of like a summer that you might experience in Maine, where it's cooler and...
But it's drier, too.
Drier,
we've had comfortable sleeping nights all through summer.
Right. But we are getting a little heat wave coming up this week.
Going out with a bang.
Right.
What could be better than that? Labor Day weekend?
And
with the schooner festival and everything?
Swimming days. And that's what I miss the most. So it's been a little colder than usual. And I love to swim. I think I've only been swimming like 4 days this summer.
I like the good sleeping weather. I hope they have wind for the schooner festival.
Oh,
but let's not talk about the schooner festival yet. Okay. We're going to get into that. We're going to talk about it. Don't worry. We're going to talk about it. But the point out, this cool, the question, we're going to talk about weather a little bit right now.
Okay.
I put out to our weather guys, speaking of breaking balls, because this is a breaking balls segment, okay? We're going to break some balls here. And it doesn't matter, because I don't think our weatherman even reads our own blog. I think he just puts his posts up, and I don't think he listens to it. I don't think he looks at, comments on, or anything
really?
Else, except for anything that, except for the stuff he does anyways. So he's probably not even going to know about this. But I asked him a question on Twitter, which the question was, does the cooler summer
portend
a cooler fall and winter?
Okay.
Like, is it... Like, okay, you're in this pattern. Does it generally continue? And is there a greater chance of having a monstrous snow or blisteringly cold fall and late fall and winter?
Right.
And his answer was, it doesn't. It could change on a dime. And then on Twitter. And then the very next tweet he sends out was, but look for a colder winter. Which makes me think that this guy is ready. Our weather guy is
ready.
He is way over the level of weather forecasting that we, you know, Good Morning Gloucester. He deserves to be in the high ranking meteorologist society, because no one, I've never seen anyone that could cover all their bases so professionally.
In two sentences.
In two sentences as our guy, Peter Lavasco.
Yeah. Time for the big time.
He is ready for the Weather Channel. He is ready for, the Today Show, because, and I could take over his spot. I feel like I could take over his spot, because, you know, you asked me a great question, right? I said,
I forget what I asked.
You asked about, do you think we're going to have an Indian summer?
A good Indian summer. Right.
And my response was, we very well may have an Indian summer unless
it's a cowboy summer. And I said I would like to experience a cowboy summer.
There you go. I mean, there you go. We have a cowboy. And I think I also added that it should be... Oh, someone else asked a weather-related question. They said, my daughter's getting married this Sunday. What are the chances of rain? I says, the chances of rain are very, very slim, unless it rains, in which case we'll have rain. So I think I got that one pegged. I think I nailed it. I think I nailed it.
I think you're ready for the big time.
I think I nailed it. I'm just saying.
I think I nailed it.
So continuing with our cool weather theme and stuff like that, the Monarchs. What is the current status of the where are they right now? Are they traveling? Are they bunched up yet to make their trek? What's going on, and does this cool weather is this a bad thing for them?
Well, it's been, let's see, in different areas of the country, it's they're having a different breeding season. So, for example, I've learned recently that in the Midwest, they're having a better season than last year. In our area, it's only a tiny bit better than last year. You know, like friends, they've seen like five in their garden throughout the summer. So, but also I've learned that in southern Ontario, they're having more than usual, which could mean that more than what has been going on in the last couple of years, nowhere, anywhere are the numbers what they should be. However, in Canada, I think that we get a lot of Canadian migrants through our area. So that could possibly mean that we might have a little bit of a migration this year, which would be wonderful because last year we had zero, zip, nothing.
So were you, last year when they normally would show up, mm-hmm. were you perched out at the end of Eastern Point where you normally go?
Yeah.
Like day after day and it just never showed up?
I would go, but see, what usually happens is I start seeing them in my garden.
Oh, so you know something.
Then I know something's going on. And yeah. There were no monarchs in anybody's gardens in our region throughout the summer and then nothing again in the fall. And so that was, pretty heartbreaking.
But so this year, do you think there's going to be a big migration?
I think there's going to be a little bit more than last year. I don't want to sound like a weatherman, but I think it's going to be a little bit better than last year, but we're not seeing the numbers. The numbers haven't bounced back. Even though the population is steadily declining, we had a little boost in 2012. We had a boost in 2006. Mm-hmm. So
I know we spoke about this before. That are there any iPhone or Android apps that you can report if you see a migration?
Yes.
There are.
Yeah, it's called Journey North. Journey North, and
Do you follow it?
Yeah, I do look at it sometimes. I don't look at it all the time, but if I have a question about something, I might glance at it. But I love it for the northward migration, especially because I can see, there's a butterfly in Maryland, or there's one in Kingston, Mass, or whatever. So then that means I, would most likely see one in our area. So it's mm-hmm. called Journey North, and it records the northward as well as the southward migration.
Is it a free app or is it a paid app, do you think?
I don't recall.
All right.
I don't use the app.
See, it would be cool.
It
would be cool for
website.
It would be cool for our people because a lot of people check out the blog from all over the country.
Right.
So if they could log their monarch sightings on that site.
Right.
The more data that they have, the more interesting that app would obviously be.
Right. And also, I believe you can do it through an app. And you can also do it on their website.
That'd be cool. So, you can see, they probably have some cool maps and
shows. Yeah, they have awesome maps because they show, they show it by the week, where the numbers are by the week. So it's very, very good.
So Travel North, was it?
Journey North. And they also track hummingbirds, robins, all kinds of creatures.
I'd like to do that and see if there's any correlation to when the lobsters pop and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I bet you they do. Because everything has to do with... A lot has to do with, obviously, probably rain, precipitation, and temperature.
And I also think that the migration where the heaviest numbers are has a lot to do with weather patterns.
Weather patterns, pushing them that way.
Right, because butterflies don't fly into the wind like birds do. They are carried by tailwinds. So that's why, when they're migrating southward, we'll get...
The prevailing winds are going that way?
Right, and then the tailwinds carry them. Then they'll stay in an area. Sometimes, like in 2006, the monarchs stayed for like a week and a half all over Eastern Point because there were no tailwinds to carry them, to the next destination. So they were here nectaring for a very long period of time, which was just, that was
for
awesome.
For you, yeah. You're wheelhouse right there.
That was amazing. That was an amazing year. So.
You hear those seagulls?
Yeah.
We got to leave that. That's in the podcast and stuff. This is part of some people freak out when there's about this podcasting Google Plus group that I belong to, and how people they want certain mics that will only pick up six inches from the mic or whatever, because they don't want any other noise except for their voice, and they want to be able to take out any ambient noise. But I think like the seagulls will add to our podcast.
I love that too. And you know what that's called? People, there's certain people who they're called Foley artists. It's called Foley. Like in a film, it's called Foley, those kind of background.
That you like that kind of,
I love that. And but there are actual, if you look at the film credits, there's actual Foley artists.
Oh, wow.
People who just, that's their...
They murmur in the background?
No, they just go around collecting, you know, the background noises and things like that.
You know who did that a couple of years back was Adam Bolonsky. He'd have this little portable audio recorder.
Right.
And he would go and, like, he would hold it next to the winch starting up or the fork truck starting up or the seagulls or something like that. And he was putting this collection of, like, MP3 sounds. And I think his idea was he could, like, sell little clips for, like 99 cents or something.
When I'm working on a film, oftentimes, even if the visual isn't any good, I save the clip. Because I can pull out the audio. Or sometimes I'll just let things run just to get the audio. So, like if I'm in a field or something like that, or even down here at the waterfront.
Cool.
So.
I got a quick kind of a local sports thing. I got an email from this woman, Courtney Edwards, who's involved with the Gloucester Youth Chargers football. Her son's team only has 9 players, and they need at least 10 to play a game. And so she wants to. I'm putting a link to their website so the parents know to get the kids involved. I grew up with football. I was skinny. This is me taking a pot shot at myself because I don't take myself too seriously. I was like I still am awkward and really too skinny and stuff like that. But when I was a teen, I was like crazy, crazy frail and awkward and with braces and everything else. I was not your typical football player, but I played football because all my cousins, my cousin Frank, my business partner, he had tree trunks for legs. He was built like a football player. My cousin Larry, my cousin Joey, my cousin Cosmo, we all played for the Tigers. And these kids were all like rugged, big, strong men. I was like this puny, skinny, awkward. But I played football, got my ass handed to me on a weekly basis. And I played like two, even though whatever grade I was, all the kids that were in my grade played like A team. And I was playing like barely able to participate in B team, but I still played. To this day, I love watching football. And I just feel it's so sad that like all these parents are having their kids play soccer. Not that soccer is a bad sport. Soccer is a great sport. It's a great. Okay. Don't get me wrong.
No, you're talking to a former soccer
I know you're a soccer mom. I totally get that. And my daughter is a soccer player, and I love watching her games. It's so exciting and everything. But part of my youth is like this whole thing with the concussions. Like now it's like they have every parent, all the parents are so psychotic now that like they're scared to death of concussion. I think there's probably a better chance of getting a concussion from soccer than there is from football. Because you don't wear helmets and stuff like that.
And also, one thing that used to worry me all the time is heading the ball.
Well, they're talking about taking that out of the game.
Oh, really?
For soccer.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
Wow. I mean, I don't know. Hopefully there's some parents that still appreciate football and will sign their kids up for Chargers youth program. You can look that up online. We'll put a link to it.
I think, you know, one reason why I think soccer is so appealing is because especially with boys, they're so active, and soccer is just like nonstop. When you're playing soccer, you just do not stop. You're just constantly moving on the field.
Yeah.
There's a bunch of good things about soccer, for sure.
There's
no pauses.
It's a lot less money to play soccer. It's $170 for football.
Oh, really?
It's $170 cap for a whole family to play youth football, pee wee football.
I don't remember what the fees were.
But I'm sure the soccer's a lot less money.
Right.
But anyway, again, Chargers youth football, they're looking for players. Hopefully her son can play football, and that's just...
Good. I hope they get another teammate.
Yeah, I hope they get a bunch so that they don't get smoked because having to play both ways, offense and defense.
Right, because it would be nice to have a little more than 10, even though that's the minimum,
Let's talk about this, the Harbor Walk. And criticism of the Harbor Walk, which I simply You did a great post, by the way.
Oh, thank you.
Fantastic post about, what was the title of it? Because I don't want to butcher it.
Hopefully Dispelling...
It was Hopefully, in parentheses...
Dispelling Misconceptions about the Harbor Walk. Misconceptions, is that
yeah,
what
Yeah, Dispelling Misconceptions about the Harbor Walk. Right. And you went through a bunch of different things. And why don't you explain it better? Because I'm just going to say my piece, and I want you to finish it up.
Okay.
Well, I can't understand... criticism of the Harbor Walk.
I was hoping to, by writing that, I was just hoping to dispel some misinformation, and I thought it would be helpful for people to remember. And all the, and then I, you know, started poking around on the blog, and I saw the post that you had put up, and let's see, one of the things that was, I recalled from filling out the application myself that it was a completely blind application process. Like, you submitted your proposal without your name on it.
Oh, so these people that have been complaining, the people that have been complaining that it's not a local artist,
right,
the jurist would have never known.
The jury's for the first part about it. I think it wasn't only until they had the semifinalists. This is my recollection, but I know the first part of it was completely blind, and also.
Well, I should say you were one of the
I submitted, and I was one of the semifinalists, and it wasn't until that point that they knew that the jurors knew who was
submitting work.
Submitting work.
A proposal.
Right. Proposal, right. And then the other thing is that after discussing things with my husband, Tom, who's on the Gloucester Cultural Council, which provides small grants through the Massachusetts Cultural Council, you cannot put restrictions on about where people live. For example, anything that is awarded through the Gloucester Cultural Council, it has to serve the people of Gloucester. But the person applying for a grant could live in California. Mm. So those were just things that, you know, in thinking about the criticism that was being levied about the process, I just thought people would want to know what I had learned.
Yeah. My thing about the Harbor Walk is that I don't understand the criticism of, like, how could it be a bad thing? A lot of the people that seem to be complaining are the anti-development people. They can't stand anything that might be nice for a tourist to actually look at. You know what I mean? So one of the things that they're always clamoring about, and like in a lot of, like when people try to get permits on the waterfront, is public access. And this is 100% public access.
Right.
So that, and it's not just for people from out of town, it's for local people to enjoy. And that movie night with the kids, I don't know anything
phenomenal.
That more
right.
people are
more excited
getting
about,
down
right.
there, and then they have, you know.
They have local vendors around, people are having dinner first, I just think it's awesome. Like,
on a bunch of different levels.
Right, in our neighborhood, that's all the kids are talking about, is like, what movies they're going to go see, and I just think it's really just, you know, and also another thing is people should think about is, I don't know the facts preceding this, but I know that we lost a theater a long time ago, an opportunity to build a theater, and it went to Newburyport. Because there was so much infighting going on about controlling the theater. So this would have been a fabulous thing for Gloucester. So I think that the more people come together about these art things, whether you like the particular artwork or not, it's really, that's a very subjective thing. Not everybody's going to like every bit of art, but if everybody's coming together, then the MCC and
well,
the
NES. This is kind of a different subject. We're talking about the Harbor Walk, and now you're talking
right.
about basically the public art.
The public art on the Harbor Walk.
Well, the art is a part of what the Harbor Walk is about. The Harbor Walk, to me, initially, it was just, you know, it's a place, a destination you can start, There's different listening posts you can put your cell phone up to, scan the barcode, and listen to stories of storybook moments that, you know, are different things. But it's actually a place where people can look, and even if there's no art installation, they can look at the working waterfront. Because over there, that's the majority of the working waterfront. The Harbor Cove, you know, is and where it goes is most of the working waterfront that's left. You know, there's bits and pieces of it, like our place and the marine railways in East Gloucester, but not there's not really not a whole lot more. And so, I, you know, again, to all these people that say, you know, we can't have enough public access. This is public access in a marine industrial zone. So, you know,
it's amazing when I'm down there watering early in the morning, and I can barely keep myself away from getting my camera out every 2 seconds.
Yeah, there's a photographic opportunity every 2 seconds. Yeah.
But, and lately I've just been setting my camera up and just letting it run. Mm. And I go water for a while and then I check. And it's just beautiful. It's just,
what time do you go down there?
I usually around 5:30, 6
in the morning.
Yeah,
oh, nice.
Yeah.
That's the best part of the day.
The light is beautiful. Yeah, it's quiet. It gets...
Because over there you're seeing the sun come up from the east, so you're on kind of toward the west, looking towards it.
Right,
yep,
and
beautiful.
So the light bounces off all the buildings.
It's beautiful.
And it's really gorgeous. And and I think the boats are very active at that time of the morning as well. Mm. And the seagulls and the noise of the heavy machinery doesn't really start until a little bit later. So
yeah, and the seagulls. Speaking of that, this time of year, they seem like they're nesting downtown at 5:30 in the morning. Those seagulls are squawking, big time.
You're
in Gloucester, Mass. Like if you're
everywhere.
You know, like if you stay downtown, like those people that live down there and stuff, you gotta be you're in it to like Ooh. Like you know you're in a seaside community just from the seagulls in the morning.
Well, this is kind of gross, but every time I go to get, we go to get our cart out that we wrap the hose around, it's covered in seagull poop.
Is it underneath the lamppost? Because the seagulls love to stay atop a lamppost.
Okay, I'll check.
And they just poop all day. Poop,
okay, well, I'll check
poop.
Because I think we're going to just get like a piece of canvas or something to put over it just so it's like we're not hosing down.
You should just camp out underneath there and hopefully you get shit on by the seagulls because that's good luck.
That's
what you want.
Oh, I did not know that. Is that a Gloucester myth or adage?
Yeah, that's what the fishermen say. If you get pooped on by a seagull. My father used to say that all the time.
Oh, okay. Well, see, I didn't know that.
See, Gloucester lore right
Gloucester
there.
Gloucester lore.
Sea shanty people like to get this.
No, don't say that.
I want to hear, okay, this is a follow-up to the how funny I, you know, and again, this is all in jest and stuff, but like I had mentioned to one of our lobstermen, and he is on one of the seafaring boards in town. I'm not going to say which one because people will know who I'm talking about. And he was the commissioner of this particular board. And I said that the sea shanty folks were upset with me when I was joking about them on the last podcast. And he looked at me kind of funny. He says, "What's the sea shanty people?" Nearly died laughing. I'm like, "Oh my god, this guy's been fishing his whole life." And they're, you know, the emails that I was getting from these people were like, "We represent your industry and this, that, and the other thing." And like,
oh,
and I said, you know, these fishermen, they kind of like laugh at these people, you know, because most of them are, you know, listen, they're great people, but what I'm saying is, like the real fishermen, they look at these kind of people that they get dressed up in the gear, and they're kind of a caricature of what the sea shanties were, and the real fishermen look at them like this Disney World kind of stuff, and for this guy in particular who's very involved with the fishing, and I mean when I say very involved, he's very very involved. For him to say, "Who's the sea shanty people?" I nearly passed out laughing. I thought it was so funny. Yeah. I mean, they do great things in the community. They really, I mean, they're very, very active. And I mean, those songs, they can get you going. If you're in the mood for that kind of like, I quit. You know what? I am so jealous of the Irish on St. Patrick's Day because those Celtic songs. I don't know. It may not be Celtic songs, but the traditional Irish songs that you hear on St. Patrick's Day, because I don't want to mislabel it, like the green alligator and the long neck goose and all those things. Like, there is not
really
much more fun than St. Patrick's Day, having a Guinness and listening to those. Like that, I want to be disturbed at the restaurant, at the pub, that day with the Irish music. That's what I want. I'm all in for that. And I think that, I'm not even sure, but the sea shanty kind of thing is almost like a subset or kind of like that.
Well,
you know, they're kind of like folk
things. Well, it probably evolved from the Irish folk tune. So
I was speaking to some of the people. I was speaking to some of the schooner people.
Right.
And they said that, oh God, I don't want to get them in trouble. That the songs that they sing are not even, they're not Gloucester songs. They're more from Wailing or something like that.
Oh,
now
right.
I have no idea. I could be way off base.
Right.
But they were kind of saying, like, this, when they say that they're representing the Gloucester fishermen stuff, it's really not. But again, I could be totally wrong because apparently, you know, the emails I was getting was I was completely off base anyway. So I'm probably wrong about that, too.
Well, you know, maybe they're, and perhaps they're talking about representation from another century as well because...
I should do a podcast with sea shanty people.
Yeah. Oh, that would be.
Wouldn't
awesome.
It be awesome? Because then they could tell their story.
They could strum some tunes. That would be awesome if you did that. That would be awesome. You have to do that. Okay.
Strum some songs. Strum some tunes.
Yeah.
The problem is the mic will probably blow up because they're so loud. They'd be great. It would be great.
They can
do the ukulele and the. Is a ukulele part of the sea shanty people?
Gee,
harmonica? Do they do harmonicas? Do they do bongos? What is it?
I think it's a fiddle. I don't know.
You don't know.
I don't know.
You should know this, Kim.
This
is part of your heritage.
I know. Speaking of ukuleles, I joined this wonderful group of East Gloucester moms.
Yeah, the Ukuleladies.
Ukuleladies, and we're actually having a lesson tomorrow morning.
I thought it was really sweet that your husband bought you a ukulele for a present.
Yeah, he did 2 years ago, and
and you're starting to take it up now.
Right. Well, it's just it just so happened that Michelle Anderson,
from Duckworth's Bistro,
right? She's awesome, and her husband is Chris Anderson
at Eastern Point Lit House.
Exactly. And she invited me to come along when I said, oh, I've always wanted to learn how to play. And the teacher is Joe Cardoza of Joe and Renee Music, and he's fantastic. Joe comes to people's homes and gives them lessons. That's part of his little music.
Do you consider yourself musically inclined?
I am. I did study the piano when I was growing up. And,
so you understand notes and everything else?
Yes, yes.
How, on a scale from 1 to 10, how tough do you think it is to pick up the ukulele?
I would say it's like a 3.
Really?
For ease.
Idiot like me might be able to pick it up?
Absolutely everybody. Did you know that, like, the more I'm reading about the ukulele, there's this huge wave and huge boom across the whole entire country and the world even.
Because musical idiots like me could pick it up.
Because it's so easy for anybody to pick it up.
How much is a ukulele nowadays?
Well... I think that the one my husband bought me was probably around $90.
That's it? Under $100, you can get into the ukulele game.
Yeah, but that you can even get really nice ones for like $30 or $40 even. I mean, it's very.
That's in my wheelhouse.
Right. It's very very.
You can sing love songs on the ukulele.
In many school programs, they're switching out recorder. You know how children, usually in the fourth grade, everybody learns the recorder.
Yeah, my daughter has the recorder. Yeah.
Right. In many schools, they're switching the recorder, the ukulele, for a recorder.
And no, the recorder for a ukulele.
And this is another like Colleen. She's one of the ukuleladies. She's probably going to use it a lot in her little art program, in her art classes and things like that. For example, like at the Pathways for Children Butterfly Garden dedication, the children learned a song about the...
Was it Tiptoe Through the Tulips?
No, it was called the...
Damn it!
It was called the Garden Song, which was popularized a long time ago by Arlo Guthrie. And, but Carolyn Haynes... I think she's Toby's sister. Isn't she one of your Lobsterman's sister, Toby?
Oh, is she?
Mm-hmm. Carolyn Haynes brought her ukulele and played that throughout the song. So,
very sweet.
Yeah, it was really, really sweet. It's just a great instrument.
Can you sing Tiptoe Through the Tulips for me?
No.
Just give me one verse.
No.
One verse.
I'm not even... No. No.
Why wouldn't you do that for me? You get the because you have the same pitch that Tiny Tim had.
Right, I know, because I know you're going to make fun of me. That's why I'm not going
to
do it.
No, it'd be fantastic.
No, I'm not going to do it.
Tiptoe to the tulips.
No, I'm not going to do that. No.
You refuse.
I refuse.
You refuse. You see, you just gave away that you're not all in it for the blog.
Well, it's like the time that you asked me to sing, like, Happy Birthday, Marilyn Monroe style, and I'm not doing that either. There's some things I'm not all in over for the
football. I know what you are all in on.
What is that?
The Schooner Festival.
Oh, I'm
this so coming excited. Weekend.
I love the Schooner Festival.
It's tremendous. It is one of the most. It's starting to gain traction. You know, it's been going on forever. I think this is the 30th year. Did I write that right?
30th year. You did get that right.
And they're going to have the lobster bake on Saturday.
Which is so awesome.
But the races are awesome, too. And I wanted to ask you, last year, the highlight of the coverage of the Schooner Festival last year was your time lapse of Gloucester Harbor with all the boats getting ready to go out before it. And then, the boats, the schooners going back and forth, which captured, for people that haven't seen it before, if you just look at this one video, you'll understand why it's such a special event. Right?
Thank you. Yeah, thank you, Joe. That's
don't cry. You're going to cry at me.
You
get very emotional. Every time I compliment you, you start blushing and you get emotional.
I'm sorry.
Don't get emotional. Look, I got to take a picture. You're red as a tomato right now.
I can take a picture.
You're red as a tomato. She turned into a tomato. But no, really. So are you planning to do any, a time lapse again, and is it going to be a different vantage point?
I'm scouting out right now different vantage points. You sent me a
link. Did you get the?
Yeah, I did, but I had to ask you about it because I wasn't really sure where you were talking about.
I will tell you.
Okay.
And
But see, the thing is, it has to, because I saw the notice and it said, you know, there's like a party atmosphere or something. It has to be where nobody's going to jiggle the camera.
They're not going to do it. No. Okay. You could get up. There's a big enough spot that they would not jiggle the camera.
So what I did last year.
You're on top of the action,
okay.
I will say.
Okay. What I did last year, I scoped out like four different places, and depending on what the weather, where the wind was coming, because to do a time lapse, you can't have it can't be super windy.
Right.
So I have to be in sort of like a non-wind corridor. That's why the vantage point from where I was last year was so awesome. So I would love to know where you're talking about, and then I'm just going to have like three places to go and to do that. And then also, my daughter is coming this weekend, so I'm still hoping I can do lots of good coverage, but I want to pay
attention. Oh, she's coming by next weekend with a new bow.
With a new bow, and she's coming Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and Monday. So
yeah.
Are
you going to bring the new bow down the dock?
Perhaps. I don't know about that.
You need to bring him down the dock.
Okay, we'll see about that.
We need to bring him down the dock.
No.
You need to bring him down the dock.
I think
we need to meet this guy. We need to give the seal of approval.
I know what kind of approval you and Frankie are talking about. I think I'm...
What are you talking about? What do you mean? Whatever do you mean by that?
I heard the...
We will be very gentle with him. This is your only daughter. You only have one daughter.
I only have one daughter. But...
And we want to make sure this guy has the right intentions.
Right.
And we're just going to strike the fear of God. I mean, we're going to just talk very nicely to him. And make
talk very nicely to him is what I'm worried about.
We're going to have a nice conversation, and we're going to talk about, you know, his intentions.
Right, yeah.
And, just get a feel for what this guy's all about.
Right. We're all very nervous.
I'm sure. Liv is a very smart girl.
Yeah,
she's very creative.
She's very confident about... Yeah.
So we have to do the dip test. I want to do the dip test.
Right, that's what I don't want, the dip test.
No, we're going to hang him by his feet with the winch.
No.
And we're going to push the winch over the side of the wharf. And we're going to dunk his head under the water by his feet with the rope. And then we're going to ask him if he's going to do the right thing. And when he makes sure that, like, almost like Chinese water torture.
After the proposal, maybe I'll bring him down to the water.
We're just joking around.
Because
everybody needs to take everything very literally here, because we don't joke around here. Everything we say is very serious. No, I'm really happy for Liv. She sounds,
she's
from what you tell me.
Yeah, she's so happy.
And you tell me everything. No, I'm joking. Now, what you tell me that she's really, she's found a really nice guy.
Yeah, he sounds so nice. We're really looking forward to meeting him. And we're having lobster. They're coming Friday afternoon, so I'll be stopping in Friday.
There you go.
And we'll be having a nice lobster dinner Friday night.
I'm really happy for everybody. This is great. This has been a great podcast. Yeah. Thanks for coming down. It's a Sunday morning. We got it in.
We did.
We only started and stopped 15 times.
About
three times.
Thank you, Joe.
Kim, thanks for coming by. Shout out Schooner Festival next weekend. It is the thing to do. Come to Gloucester. Experience this one of our last weekends. It's going to be a hot spell this weekend. So suck out every last piece of Gloucester fun that you can this week. It's going to be over soon before you know it. Have a good day, guys. Another Gloucester Cast in the books.